We're very pleased with the paper that we have on this, so I'm going to rely very heavily on asking you to look for more details from the paper that's submitted. So the basic idea here is, what do we do with gin waste? And there's a lot of different things going on, and we're thankful to be able to take part in looking at just one possible example. I'm not going to read all of this, but obviously we all have seen lots of challenges of dealing with gin waste, and whether we stockpile it, compost it, windrow it for further composting, feed supplements, and of course there's a cost to manage all of this. Of that list of items we just talked about, Joe's got some nice pictures here talking about the stockpiling. Here's a good example. Field distribution. You know, in Savannah we have numbered parking spaces. This is my spot. Yeah. Some of the folks will compost, as you've seen, probably like this with the central conveyor that pivots, or stacked up in windrows, feedlots. I'm going to make up some time for you here, Stanley. there's a really clever, slide that Joe made up to try to help us get a visual impact on how big of an issue this can be. So if you took a 200,000 bale gin, which is a whopper, of course, but the scale makes it really nice for the presentation. Good grief, I'm not going to read all of that either. But the basic idea is, The image on the left, that represents the volume of that gin building. A 200,000 bale per year gin building. The second column represents how much trash in literal volume is compared to the building you get for picker harvested cotton. The next column is stripper harvested, but with a field extractor on the stripper. And the last column, what a whopper. This represents the trash pile for stripper harvested cotton without a field extractor. This is dramatic, guys. This is dramatic. This is a big deal. So, with the biogeneration is gasification, which is the process of converting solid biomass, in this case, gin waste, into a synthesis gas or syngas, which can be used to run an engine or generator or to generate heat. Texas A&M, they've been working on some of these type of devices since the 1980s, and currently working on a 250 kilowatt version. Wow, okay. Here's a beautiful slide that he made up. I think that you will all enjoy going back through this in great detail at your leisure. But it really is. I mean, it's a well thought out plan. It's a well thought out sequence of how we can apply this in our industry. Let's see. I also want to mention that the Texas A&M website. I'm going to make sure I tell you right. They have a video at the Texas A&M AgriLife Research and AgriLife Communications of a series of interviews about the last test that was performed using this system. It was set up on the back of two flatbed trailers. It's a very interesting video. I encourage you to go out and look for it. And had Joe been here and had we not had the technical difficulties, I think he probably would have played it for you. I do encourage you to go and take a look at it. We'll make reference to it in the paper that's published so that if you can't find it on your own, you can get there that way. And I appreciate your patience, and we're excited about this. It's a good opportunity, I think. Are there any questions? Yes, sir. Well, the fact of the matter is it's only barely feasible. This is research that has been difficult to scale up, and that's what's happening right now, is this technology being scaled up. And when you say feasible, it depends, I guess, on how you're going to use the energy. Obviously, just with anything else, you can't store it. That's the difficult part of it, which aspect of being feasible are you focusing on, or not feasible, rather? Oh. Well, it's a combination of the two. It depends on your particular situation. Obviously, in places where getting rid of the waste is a high cost, it becomes more attractive and it pays for itself in a quicker amount of time. If you've got a way that you can use the energy, for example, the plan here is with this next generation, we can use it to power a small shop, building, office, workshop, that sort of a thing, so it can be consumed on site. So that's real numbers. Yes, sir. Not as efficient, and that's one of the real challenges. The video, I think, we'll answer some of these questions in better detail than I'm prepared to do today, so I apologize.
Wood chips is around 7,000 BTUs per pound. Coal range is 12,000 to 15,000 BTUs. About half that.
Thank you, Russell, for saving me. Very good. Thank you.
The other aspect of feasibility is how constant energy availability and demand will be. If we reach a point where the power available does not meet the requirements, some of the rural areas may find themselves needing to generate their own power. This gives people
Yeah, and that's a real issue, especially if you're at the end of the line, on the power grid. So, yes, sir.
Have you considered using used raft as an additional fuel source?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well,
Could we use the module wrap for an additional fuel source? Okay, duly noted. All right, thank you.